Okay, we're continuing in the Drush HaSaran. We're in the Drush HaRishon, the Mosad Rav Cooks, we're on page Mem Hei. So the Ran had told us about the order of creation and how man, who was the most perfect, was the most shalim, was created last and put in Gan Eden, the most perfect place. And then he had discussed the connection or lack of connection between the Guf and the Neshama, about how when they ate from the Eitz Hadas, it made their body stronger and their Gashmiya stronger, which made the Neshama weaker. Okay, but that was basically discussing the creation of the world. And now the Ran says, V'ne'ata nishar olam achari zeh kulu al tivo v'inyano. So now the world remains on its natural course. Now that the world has been created, everything's done, the world stays on its natural course. Lo nitzchadish bo davar, nothing new. Aval nikva ala minig ativi apashitz, everything stays in its natural course. V'pnei zeh, because of this, timtza b'maisa b'reishas kulo shem elokim levad. You'll find when Hashem created the world, meaning from Bereshis Bar Elokim till the end of creation, the Pasuk always refers to Hashem as Elokim. So that's a shame of Hashem, a name of Hashem that refers to Hashem being all-powerful and being able to take things from potential to actualization, but mashli aspek minagativi, with something that naturally could not occur. In other words, the creation of the world obviously was something not natural. Hashem had to create the world and create nature. So throughout the process of creating the world, Hashem is referred to as Elokim, because that's the name of Hashem that refers to him being all-powerful and being able to do anything. Ke'elokim perishu ba'alakochos, because that's what the word Elokim means. Ba'alakochos kulam means all-powerful. Kel means like a powerful. So Elokim means the all-powerful. V'timza kolzman hiyosa odem began Eden. However, by contrast, you'll find when man, after Maisa Bereishis is over and man is in Gan Eden, so Tziref Hashem HaMiuchad. So then Hashem's name of Yudke Vavke is added. In other words, it says Hashem Elokim then. Im Shem Elokim. It always says Hashem Elokim. Because in Gan Eden, most things were natural. Here the Ran is saying that the name Yudke Vavke is the name Hashem uses when things are natural, just to keep thing that keeps life existing, functioning, but nothing out of the ordinary. So in Gan Eden, it was kind of a mix. So Hashem is called Hashem Elokim. You have the name of Hashem because things are working on their normal path. But you also needed some miraculous things going on in Gan Eden. In other words, if before Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas, right, he was supposed to live forever. Physical things can't last forever. So the way he was going to last forever is because when a person's at a very high spiritual level, their soul is so powerful it could keep the body going, like Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai stayed up there 40 days and 40 nights without eating. So when you're on a very high spiritual level, the neshama is so strong it could keep the guf going. That's the way it was supposed to be in Gan Eden, so that's not exactly natural either. So you needed a little bit of the unnatural. So in Gan Eden, Hashem is referred to as Hashem Elokim. Hashem is the regular way things work. Elokim is, again, this all-powerful that was going to keep Adam's neshama around. Mitad hidavei kanefesh b'Hashem yizbarach k'mashbiyarnu, by the fact that Adam was so connected to Hashem, it was going to keep him living forever. So that's why it was Hashem Elokim. Aval acharei shegarsh Adam migan Eden, but then after Adam sins and is kicked out of Gan Eden, v'yuchayev kvi mizgo v'tivo, now Adam lives truly natural, like his neshama isn't that strong anymore. Lozu lesem, not with any unnatural things. Me'asher lo nitzchadishim koach ala inyan ativi, since there's nothing above nature in creation, that from then on, lo hizkur achar kach kiyam Hashem. So then from then on, it just uses the name of Hashem, asher hu shema etzem, which is Hashem's name about him, not describing anything. It's Hashem's shema etzem, actual name, whatever that means. Ki kochos habriya beisahi nachu v'shaktu. That's Hashem's actual name. So that's used because there was nothing extraordinary going on after Adam gets kicked out of Gan Eden. So therefore, it's Hashem. The name used is just Hashem. So first we have Elokim. That's when Hashem is creating the world. That's the name Hashem uses when he's doing things above nature. All then when there's a mix, like in Gan Eden, there's Hashem Elokim, and then after that's over is just Hashem. Again, I'm not a Mekubal. I don't know how all this stuff works. It seemed like in Mitzrayim we had Shmi Hashem Lo Nodati Lahem, which I thought was the name that when Hashem's going to do Nisim. I don't know how that all works. But either way, this is what the Ran says here, that Elohim refers to Hashem running things in a non-natural way. And the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, the name of Hashem, is when things go regular. And Hashem Elohim is when it's a mix. Okay, so the reason why this whole discussion, the story of the creation of man and his sinning with Eitz Hadas, all that's at the beginning of the Torah. Because when you're building a building, you make a building, you have to start with the foundation. At the beginning of the Torah, so the foundation that the Torah is built on is at the beginning. And that is to tell you that the earth, the universe, the galaxy, everything does not exist because it must exist. It only exists because God wills it to exist. And everything is in the hands of Hashem, like a craftsman who is crafting clay pottery, who can mush it and do whatever he wants, that everything in the universe only exists at the will of Hashem, as Hashem wants it to exist. And to that end, meaning to the end that we need to talk about at the beginning of the Torah, the foundations of the Torah, even though we're not going to discuss, when we talk about mitzvos, specifically you won't find in the Torah promising anyone Olam Haba ever, explicitly. It doesn't say if you keep Shabbos, you will get Olam Haba. It doesn't say by any of the mitzvahs, if you keep them, you'll get Olam Haba. You won't find the words that, you know, it's explicitly talking like that in the Torah. It does say physical things. It says if you listen to the mitzvahs, Vayagish Mechem Beitam, it will rain nicely, you know, that kind of thing. You have physical things, things from this world discussed explicitly. But the Torah never gives explicit reference to reward in the next world. So, and even though that's a pretty fundamental thing to the existence of the world and to Yiddishkeit and to everything, is that there's schar in Olam Haba. So even though we don't say that at the beginning of the Torah, or anywhere for that matter, as he will explain shortly, but you can figure it out from stories that the Torah tells. The who, and that is, Shekvar bir lanu inyan Adam Rishon. He already explained to us at the very beginning the story of Adam Rishon. She'en kiyum ha-nefesh mitzad kiyum ha-guf. You could see from the story of Adam Rishon that the soul is not connected to the body such that when the soul dies, when the body dies, the soul dies too. Shelu hayakin, because if that were true, that if when the body dies, the soul dies, it should follow, therefore, that when the body is then healthy and strong, that the soul would be stronger and the soul would be more connected to the body. In other words, it should come out that if you're saying when the body dies, the soul dies, it should be when the body's strong, the soul is strong, it should be very connected. And you see just the opposite from the story of the Eitz Hadas. Eating from the Eitz Hadas should have made man more physical and more his body better, which it did. And Chava would have been right. Bim kolzem itzad shevri aguf, even though it's true, it made the guf stronger. Hishchis he mashech kesher hanefesh baguf, but it destroyed the connection between the kesher and the guf and made the neshama worse. Hinei niglaim kain, so it's clear therefore, shaguf shahaguf v'kochosav inem nosnim kiyum ha'madol nefesh. So it's not the guf that makes the soul stronger, right? Because the soul got weaker after she ate from the Eitz Hadas. Everybody, so the whole ruchnias of the world got much less. Even though their bodies got stronger, their ruchnis got less, and they got punished for that. So you see from that story that the soul and the body are not connected in that way. Just the opposite. When the body's more into its own pleasures, the soul is worse. So it should follow, therefore, just the opposite, that when the body dies, the soul is at its strongest, which is in fact the case. And all the Torah, when it's always promising physical rewards for mitzvos, al zeh hatzad, it's in this way. In other words, for this purpose, sheim yira'a lachush, sheish l'adam dveikas binyan alakiva, omid b'inyan moneo som me hasigo. So if a person sees that they get, that even when you're connected to your body, still you can connect to God. In other words, even though we're physical, we're connected to our bodies, so our souls are not that strong. Still, we can connect to God in the sense that we could do mitzvos, and God will actually reward us for that in this world when we're physical, with physical things in this world. So if we can still connect to God when we're attached to the something that stops us from spirituality, Shu HaGuf, which is the body, and Safik Shia Muftachlios Advega Shalan Kimash Efshar Kashar Yusar Hamatzik Hamonea, so certainly we'll be able to connect to God better when the thing stopping us from spirituality, that is the body, is gone. So that's all a way of him telling you that you can see from this story, although obviously it's not blatantly obvious, but you can see from this story that there must be a soul that lives on after the body and is stronger when the body goes, and that when you see that if we can get connected to God and get rewards when we're physical, certainly when we're gone from the body, certainly the soul will get more connected to God and therefore more reward. Matura falzeh, moreover, shein safik shayamunos bizman mahem. Okay, so now we're going to talk about a more a thing we can more easily relate to, a good reason why the Torah did not mention rewards in the next world, and that is shein safik shamunus mizmanam mehem hayin yonam noeg al derech shenoeg mining mishpatem unas sher nachnu besochem. So whatever other kfira there was in those in the former times, whatever it was, their avodah zaras, whatever religion anybody made up, betoni lamer shayu kulam avtichos al gemul haasid lenefesh achari yipardu megrof. That's all they promise. Right, if all they can offer you, if you go to another religion, that they'll tell you what's going to happen to you in Olam Haba, in the next world. So they're thrown, you know, they'll say, you'll see I'm right, you know, then when you die, which of course is too late then. Since they were false, they couldn't have said, if you do mitzvos, if you follow the rules of the religion, something good will happen to you tomorrow, because they're full of baloney to start with. So they can't promise what's going to happen now because it won't come true. They can only promise what will happen in Olam Haba. Ukeshabat Torah Seinu Benosan Ha'amumos Ha'amunos. And now when our Torah comes in here amongst those other religions, Kamosh Nivdala Mihen B'mayla, just like the Torah is obviously greater than them, Ken Hivdala Yehudah, its promises are different than other religions. Kolomer She'im Sosam, it can show that they're true. Mashlaho Yechon La'amis, which other religions cannot, because the Torah will tell you if the Jewish people do well, you follow the mitzvahs, good things will happen, and they do, and if you sin, they will be destroyed, or you'll be attacked, or whatever, and that's happening right now. Just like one of the foundations of the Torah is the idea of Yitzias Mitzrayim, us going out of Egypt, through that story, you see God is connected to us. God did miracles for us, which magicians could not do. The magicians got messed up. They couldn't help. So too, the Torah, when it promises things, it promises things that we'll be able to see with our own eyes. No other Torah can promise that other than ours. Had the Torah told us about the reward we get for doing mitzvos in Olam Haba, nirasahi v'yeser haTorah shavas. So it would look like our religion and other religions are the same. And you wouldn't be able to tell the Torah's maila above other religions. Since all of the religions would be promising about something you can't feel and touch. Each one could say, "Oh, I'm right," because nobody could prove anything, because it only is true when you die. So that therefore the Torah gave us promises of rewards in this world, even though that isn't the main thing. But the reason why the Torah keeps always talking about getting schar in this world is because it wants to let you know, to prove that it's true and you can see it with your own two eyes. V'humash amar, and that's what the Torah says, v'shmartim asisem ki hi chachmaschem. The Torah tells us, keep the mitzvos, you will see it is chachmaschem yivinaschem leinei agoyim. And the goyim will say, "Yemigoy gadol asher lo chukim and mishpatim tzadikim." They'll say, "Who is this great nation that has such great chukim and mishpatim?" So the Ran discussed this in another drasha. I won't say it again here. He says it again here. Vinei tipol bekan sheila gadola. It's a big question on this pasuk. The Torah is telling us that we should keep all the mitzvahs because the goyim will see it and they'll say, "Oh wow, these Jews are smart." So there's a question. Eich amar ki inyan achukim. It's saying that when they see the chukim, that means the things that we don't understand why they are. They're going to see that and say, chachmasenu ve'nasenu le'yenu amim, that they're going to say, oh, they're so smart. That when they see us doing, say, paraduma or shatnez, they'll say, oh, this is a smart nation. Nobody understands it. It would seem the opposite. When see people doing strange things, they don't say, well, you're so smart. They say, you're crazy. Chukim are not mitzvahs that we understand why we're doing them. We're doing them because Hashem says so. These are things that the Goyim come and make fun of us over. So the Goyim should see us doing chukim and say, well, you're a stupid nation, not a smart nation. They do things that make no sense. But the pasuk has to be connected with the next pasuk. The pasuk afterwards explains what this first pasuk was. These psukim are in Devarim, Perek Dalet Vav through Ches. So it says, "Vu Omro Kimi Goy Gadol Asher Lo Elokim Krovim Ilav." The next pasuk says they will say, "Who is this great nation that has Hashem so close to them?" Ratzah Bazeh. That means Kishayiru Ha'umo Shem Tzoakim Einum Nanim. When the Goyim see that they daven and nothing happens, and they see, like, for example, a Purim story where we daven and Hashem helps us out, then they'll say, how great is this nation? Because they'll see godliness is attached to us. But, says the Ran, adayin tzarech bir, but still here we need to explain something. Okay, so they'll see that Hashem is connected to us, but why is it when they see us doing shatnez, especially, they're going to say, wow, the Jews are so smart? The answer is, so anytime somebody does something that he's commanded to do and it looks strange, it's going to be one of two possibilities. Either the one who tells you to do something strange is going to come out to be a genius, or a moron. Right? If somebody tells you to do something that seems strange, like they tell you go stand on your head and it'll cure you from epilepsy, so you say that sounds ridiculous, right? Okay. Well, what if it actually does? Then you're going to say, wow, that guy is amazing. If it does nothing, you'll say he's a moron like you thought he was. But if he tells you to do something strange and it actually works, you don't just say, oh, that makes sense. He'll be like, holy cow, this guy knows what he's talking about. That's amazing. How did he figure that out? If the guy says stand on your head and takes away epilepsy or whatever, something crazy, and it really works, so you're going to say, wow, this guy's incredible. He figures stuff out that nobody else can figure out. But if it doesn't do anything, you're standing on your head, does not cure epilepsy, you're going to appear as a moron. Like the story with Naaman and Elisha, right? Where Elisha, he came to, and Naaman had tzaras, and he came to Elisha as the Navi that he should daven for him. And Elisha said, go dunk in the river over here, which was a nothing special river. And Naaman laughed at him and said, I'm going to dunk in your river. I got nicer rivers where I come from. I don't need the special rivers here. And then he went in the river and he was cured. And Naaman said, holy cow, wow, you're a special nation. That was the point, as the Ran's going to explain. When Naaman came to Elisha to try to get cured from his tzaras, he figured Elisha would daven and Naaman would be cured. If Elisha would have done that, just daven for him and he got better, it wouldn't have been as much of a miracle. Everyone knows God listens to prayers, everybody's prayers. So then it would be not as great of a miracle. But when Elisha told him something that sounded strange to him, that made no sense to him, that should make him better. So then Naaman started cursing out Elisha and his God. He told me to go dunk in this river. It would have been better off for me to dunk in different rivers. When people see something and they don't see how it's going to cause them to get to what they want, Yirim Tzaveo say Sachal, and it doesn't work. So then they'll say the person told them to do it is dumb. Aval Bachrona, but at the end, Asher Ra Ayin BeAyin Kasher Dibra Navi Kein Kara. But when the Navi said dunk in this river right here, and it worked, Mishriipa also Binyan Yotzei Min HaHekesh, and his tzaras, his leprosy ran away miraculously. Amr Hineinu Yadati Kein Elokim B'Chol Haaretz Kein BeYisrael. He says, wow, that worked. Now I know God is with you. Kilomar Shemitzad Kervasa Meilav, the fact that he was the Jew, the Hashem is close to us. He Masigim Dvar Mishlo Yisharim HaHekesh B'Shem Panim. That we are know things that nobody could possibly know. So they see it worked. They don't know why it worked. We don't know why it worked. We just know that that's what when Hashem says something, it happens. So they see us as understand that God is with us and that we're amazing. Cain Pierce Pasik Beshava. So that's what this Pasik means, the one he started with, which is Kish Mirasenu Achukim. When the Gayim see that we're keeping the Chukim, they'll see that that's our Chachma. What do you mean? When they see us doing things that they don't understand, we don't understand, but they see because of us doing the mitzvahs, Hashem is close to us. So when they see that when it comes to obvious mitzvahs, like don't steal, our Torah and their Torah are lahavdil equal. Tony to not kill, to not steal, so our Torahs, so to speak, are the same. What makes our Torah special? And certainly nowadays, that is the chukim. That's what makes us special. The keeping things like kosher and stuff, where we're not the same as them, and we're doing it because Hashem said so. And when people see that Hashem is close to us, they'll see, wow, this stuff they're doing is obviously important. That obviously brings Hashem close to them. They'll see that Hashem is great to us, is close to us. Yomru, when they see us doing the chukim and God is close to us, Yomru, then they'll say, Rakam chacham v'navon agoy gadol hazeh, this is an amazing nation. So in other words, this is a way of talking that you wouldn't have thought something would have happened, but you're forced to admit when you see the results. So that's why when the Gaim will see us succeeding with, in Ruchnius, they see that we are on a high spiritual level and God has connected us, then they'll see the chukim we do as amazing things. So what the Ran wants from this is that since you see, when you see that we do mitzvos, God has connected to us, and people who don't understand why we're doing it, now they're forced to admit, oh, okay, well, obviously that was a good thing to do, keep the mitzvos. So, similarly, when they see that when you keep the mitzvos, when we keep the mitzvos, we get rewarded in this world, they'll also understand that that the Torah is true, and the mitzvos we're doing make us connected to Hashem. So, therefore, the Torah did not need to write. They get schar in olam haba. Avalim shichas yipurel in yonim shem ma'amtiyim ze b'li safik. Rather, it just told stories that you'd figure it out from the story. In other words, the Torah told us only fit that we would get physical rewards for doing mitzvahs. That's enough to make it clear that the Torah is true. And people will see, like he said, that Hashem is connected to us. That will also make them see that the Torah is true. So we don't need to talk, the Torah didn't need to explicitly talk about Olam Haba, but it's obvious that that there is Schar in Olam Haba from the stories the Torah brings. Kasher Huzeh Asipra Kulo Shel Adam Rishon, because that's the story of Adam Rishon, as he explained. V'inyan Akeda, and the Akeda too, which is a pretty clear story. Kilu Hoya Misapik Avram Avinu Alav Hashalom Binyan Olam Haba. If there was any doubt in Avram Avinu's mind that there was an Olam Haba, if there was any thought in anybody's mind, in Avram Avinu's mind, that the reward you get for keeping mitzvos is just in this world, he would have shechted his kid, his one and only kid that he waited 100 years to have, because he might get punished in this world. He'd probably be very, if the whole thing was about this world, it's not worth it. Okay, so something will happen to him. All right, so what? Therefore, he's going to shech this kid. But rather, this shows clearly that this world was not the point. The reward and punishment we get in this world is not the point. This world is, relatively speaking, meaningless in the sense that it's not worth investing in. Relative to the next world. This world only lasts however long it lasts, between whatever it is, up to 120 years. Kemoshe Pasach Kohelas Sifra, like Kohelas started a sefer that said, Heva Valhava Lima Mar Kohelas, that everything in this world is waste, meaningless. V'chasam ba'omron, he ends his sefer saying, Sof davar hakol nishma, at the end of the thing is, everything will be heard, it's elokim yirav, it's mitzvos of shemar, kizek al adam. The only point is to fear God and do his mitzvos. Kena Torah, himshichin hine akulam asayatzad. So similarly, the Torah is always talking like, Lehodia shein laolam mitaratzmo kiyam v'ha'amada, to tell you that this world is really meaningless. Again, even though it doesn't tell you about the schar and olam haba, everything about the Torah tells you that this world is not important. Aval inyano noe kifi avodasinu merienu, the world just works based on what are the mitzvos or aviris we do. Hashem yizbarach bara'o mi'ayin v'hotziyu alayesh, and Hashem created the world from nothing. Chen ki yishana inyano tamid v'yatik osam yasher yutzi lefanov mi'inyanov. Hashem can change nature, right? This is what the whole Torah is about. These are the foundations of the Torah, that there is Hashem who created it. It didn't used to exist. Hashem created it. He runs it. He can change nature whenever he wants. That's the whole Torah. And that there is a schar in olam haba. That's where we're always saying in our tefillos and on holidays, Zeichel Tzias Mitzrayim. We say in Kiddush at every holiday, Zeichel Tzias Mitzrayim. Gaba Moado Sheinim Nimshachim Yim Tzias Mitzrayim Klal. Even holidays that have zip to do with Tzias Mitzrayim, Kamo Rosh Hashanah of Yom Kippur, those don't have to do with Tzias Mitzrayim, and yet we say in Kiddush, Zeichel Tzias Mitzrayim. Why? Nei Sheinim Nenhu Horosh Hashem Yizbarach Chavitz Banu Maniginu Marenu Haderech Asher Nal Eba El Olam Elyon. Because it is from Yitzias Mitzrayim that we see that Hashem is the one running the world, and Hashem is the one who made us his special nation, and that's how we got the Torah and how we're following everything. So everything comes back to, in a sense, Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's right. That's when we were chosen, when Hashem made us his Amma Nivchar and led when he showed us that he actively runs the world. So everything is, in a sense, Zichel Yitzias Mitzrayim, because that's the foundation of everything. Like when Hashem told us, as in when the first Dibur in the Aseres Dibros, Anochi Hashem Lokach, I am Hashem your God, Hamotziecha Meretz Mitzrayim, I took you out of Egypt. Because that's what shows that Hashem created the world, runs the world, and is sending us on a path how to get to Olam Haba. Mipnei Zeh, because of this, Kasher Hischel Nosin Atari Yizbarach Binyan Chiddush Olam. So when the Torah starts off, it starts off with the creation of the world. Because that is the foundation of Torah, that Hashem created the world and runs it. So to Hashem ends off the Torah, with the miracles, ends off talking about the last line, the last pasuk of the Torah tells us about the miracles we saw in Mitzrayim, which again showed Hashem running the world and controlling it actively. Though the words right before that are that Hashem spoke to Moshe panim al panim. Okay, so that was not known to all, so the Torah is letting you know that Hashem had a very strong connection to, in the Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu had was a special Nevuah. But we end off, the last pasuk is, L'chala osos v'amosim asher shlachu Hashem la'asos v'eretz Yisrael. All the miracles that God did in Mitzrayim, the Pharaoh, the Chala Amora Hagadol, the Chala Yana Chazaka, Asher Asa Moshe Leini Kol Yisrael, that we all saw with our own eyes, that following the Ribbono Shel Olam is the way to go, and that Hashem runs the world, and that we should be following Him, and that there's Schar and Onish for Mitzvos and Averos. So that's the beginning of the Torah's creation of Hashem running the world. The end of the Torah's Hashem running the world, because that is the whole Yisod of Kol Torah Kula. And we'll stop here. Next week, next time we will do a chazara.